Welcome to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. Join me tonight. Join me tonight for a story tonight. It's already got a melody. You don't have to sing this part. All right, just speak it. Okay. There's already music under it. All right, I understand that. I got carried away. All right. It's just letting people know what's coming up. Just have to use the bathroom real quick or something. Am I missing anything? No, it's just the beginning. It's the same every week. All right.
Oh, but, I got luggage and everything. I really don't want to walk very far. I'll do my best. But I might have to go the wrong way down a one-way street. Can't you just go around the block? Nope, there's no block. Well, how does that work? Well, what they want you to do is go around this way and then just leave town.
Oh.
Yeah, so they make it so you can't get back. Oh, what is this guy gonna do? So you can't get back.
All right. Well, just please get me as close as possible.
I will. What is this guy doing? Come on!
We're in no hurry.
I'm always in a hurry. I gotta get on to the next thing. Once I start something, I get bored with it, like instantly. Sometimes I get bored with things before I start them. And I gotta start them and follow through anyway.
Hello, friend. I knew it was you by your knock. You say you didn't knock? Well, you knocked without knocking. That's how I knew it was you. Follow me. Downstairs. It's a split level. The downstairs is a different dimension. Welcome to the basement kingdom of imagination, where anything is possible, as long as it follows a long list of rigid rules. What are the rules? Well, there's too many to tell you, and no one knows them all. You don't need to. Just try things, and if they're not possible, you'll be made aware of the situation, usually by mail. A lot of people are daunted by the kingdom of imagination. Anything is possible, create entire worlds. A lot of people find that stressy. So, no pressure. You don't have to do anything. The worlds you make can be minimal. Don't feel the need to overpopulate them with whimsical creatures or explanations or whatever. I just have a handful of creatures in my world here. My talking mule, useful William, a couple of friends to keep me company. Oh, and a piece of advice. Don't make dragons. That's just dumb. Their spit has botulism. They don't tell you that. Who's the new friend? Oh, I don't know about new. This is my friend. Friend, this is Lou.
Hi, nice to meet you. Excuse me, Hardy, we have a problem.
What?
It's delicate. It's that, well, there are certain ancient...
Hi, everybody. We're being invaded.
Butchie, why don't you just tell the neighbors?
I'm trying to. It's time to warn everybody.
What's going on?
It's the Emperor Hadrian.
Explain who that is. Some of our friends might not know.
Oh, you gotta be kidding me.
No, Butchie, he's right. I heard that was true. Anyway, he was a Roman emperor from 117 to 138 AD or CE, depending on whether or not you go to church. Our friend, Rabbi Shimon, who we met in the cave that he lived in during the Bar Kokhba revolt, I don't know where I'm going with this. Anyway, the emperor found a time portal on Desire Key, and he broke into our world.
Hello, populace. This is the Emperor Hadrian here. Verified historical figure, beloved leader and friend. Strong advocate for uniting people in the style of the Greeks. Lover of poetry. I'm forgetting something. Crusher of dissent. I feel like that almost goes without saying. Anyway, you theirs. Your lives will not appreciably be different. But you will be my subjects. So, if it comes up in conversation, whose subjects are you? Why, I'm Emperor Hadrian's fine subject. Why do you ask, old crone? Are you a trickster? Sir, the cough button.
Can this be fixed? Well, that's a fine old piece. It was my grandfather's. Smells of lavender. He was a real estate agent. What's this? Oh, that's my left hand. Oh, sorry. That's fine. Let's check the cards and see if I can make this work again. All righty. Ooh, those look old. They were my grandmother's. She must have been. All right. Now, this is the spearmint bird. Ah, that sounds like a type of candy. Yes, or a type of bird. It signifies this. A glove. The glove of most resistance. We could get this running again, but it might cost a bit.
I'd be willing to go as high as possible.
All right. Well, leave it with me, and I'll call you when I have it ready.
Thanks, Doc. I'm glad there's something he can do about that.
Hardy, I'm glad I tracked you down. I want you to take a look at my painting of a bird. I think it's come to life.
How is that possible?
I don't know. It's not even that realistic. Maybe I accidentally did some incantation or spell and it became animated and or sentient. But I didn't do it on purpose, and not so as I can even remember.
How do you know it's alive?
It jumped off the canvas. It basically leapt and flew in my face. I ducked and it flew past me and out the window.
And the canvas?
It's blank. Like I never painted a spearmint bird to begin with.
Have you been... Has anyone even taken your drink order?
We don't even have menus.
Oh, I'm sorry. Who seated you?
No one seated us. We materialized here. We're hunting the Emperor Hadrian, who has broken into our time and who is running amok and damaging our dimension.
I'll have water.
Me too. Water, please. Thanks. So, like I was saying, I don't think that we can just use the time machine to transport somewhere like we have obviously just now done, so disregard this.
Why would the Emperor come to a pancake restaurant?
Because he's roaming the brunch.
It's not a pun.
Oh, good. I feel I wasn't even close.
He's somewhere around here. Look for a Southern European-looking guy.
Oh, man.
He might be wearing a large silver helmet.
Bingo, right there.
Good eye.
I don't have time to fool around.
I'm not fooling around. I eradicated the threat like you asked. I'm sorry you got sucked into it, but your people are saved. Hooray!
I insist you send me back at once.
I insist you listen one more time. You asked to be rid of Hadrian. I got rid of Hadrian. You somehow are also here. That's a shame. My condolences to your now long dead family. But I don't do reverses, so you live here now. Pick your brand and relax into it.
I will strangle you until you do send me back, sorcerer.
I'm going to be generous, because that thing you just said means you super don't know me. So there's no way you can be held responsible for your behavior. But I tell you what I'm going to do. I'll get you to the one person who can get you home.
Who?
Hadrian.
No, never.
All right.
Wait. So, even if I strangle you, you really won't send me back home?
I can't send you home, pal. It ain't 119 or whatever anymore.
I bet in the year 420, some dark age stoners giggled the whole year like idiots. How annoying.
Those are called snicker years, where the number of the year evokes some kind of joke reference.
180... 360, 409, 808.
Yeah, 2020 is going to be the next joke year.
The smallest sorcerer boy. In the darkest cave, in the cave so dark, in the woods at the edge of the lake, lived a crazy old cat and a useful old mule and a rabbi whose left leg was fake.
That's a crazy poem, Mr. O'Reilly.
Thank you, Ronnie. You know, I hope you don't mind me asking about Blue Beauty. I know she's missing, and I know that for you she is a very special horse.
So what's your point, Mike?
Well, I just wondered if you
had any leads as to who you think might have stolen her and sold her to a Kentucky farm.
Betty, you want to repeat that? Because nobody knows what happened to Blue Beauty. She disappeared from her stall. She could have run away.
Of course. I'm not saying any differently. I just wondered if, you or the police...
Police? There's no cops involved in this.
Oh, good. I mean, I'm sure she'll turn up. I didn't drive. I didn't make... So.
Everybody's favorite wacky shop teacher is back in his nuttiest, funniest adventure yet. Hardy White in The Road to Outer Space. How did a shop teacher get on the moon? I don't know either, boys. It's the most outrageous laugh-out-loud comedy you'll ever see.
I said dinner, not ignition.
I'm sorry. They don't even sound alike. Why do I even have to push a button to put the food in the fridge anyway?
Where are we headed?
I'm not sure. They were still in meetings about the destination of the space mission.
I have nothing to do with that. I just teach shop. The good news is, I have the class experiment, the Wankel engine, all strapped in and ready to go.
I wonder if they work in space.
Exactly.
This is bad. We just shot ourselves into space with no way of getting back.
You don't know that. We could have adventures on other planets and meet aliens who could help us return home.
More than likely, we will drift in complete darkness until our oxygen runs out and we suffocate.
You see the glass as half full of blood, and I see the glass as half full of eau juice. It's perspective.
Hey, I think I just saved us. Look at this. Wallpaper is wanted for rush job.
Do you think it's the band rush?
We always do a rush job of anything. Might as well be wallpapering.
If we do that, we could earn enough money to get off this ship.
Hang on, I'll get the door.
Since we live in a cave, I'm curious about what that knocking is. Normally, I'd say front door.
How long have we lived in a cave?
Since we've been on the run from Hadrian.
I don't think we live in a cave.
I'm with you. Even though all my senses and memories tell me we do, there's a still small voice coming from you that says we don't, so I'll listen to that.
It's coming back to me too. Hadrian.
Yeah, when the Emperor switched times, he didn't just switch times. He built a wall, a time wall.
That can't be good.
The way Hadrian ruled was not to expand his kingdom, but to better define and control and watch what he already had. So he was trying to master time now the way he mastered space. So he built a time wall. And now memories can't flow, consequences can't flow, the logical order of things, linear time, it's all damned up.
I think the answer is all gummed up with the Three Stooges. Emil Sitka was in that one.
And that is correct. Lou gets the X.
So you might have noticed that I've made a few changes. For instance, one thing no longer leads to another, but to me. One thing happens, then me, in that order. I've shut off some parts of the past that you don't need to worry about, and also the future belongs to me, but we can always negotiate who gets to go there. This next song is the kind of country I like, the old twangy kind. I'm DJ Hadrian, by the way, and you're listening to what I'm calling Roam If You Want To.
You've already read me this story, Uncle Hardy.
I did?
Yeah, where the Emperor Hadrian traps everyone in a cave, but they're in space.
Oh, are you sure? Because I thought I was making it up as I went along.
No, it's all in this book by Publius Aelius Hadrianus.
What? That doesn't sound right. I don't remember the order of things anymore. What I thought was logic and reason is gone. Nothing is provable. The past keeps changing. My memories, I'm less sure of them. The Emperor seems to be the one constant. He's building walls in time. He's blocking communication and shared experience, divine power and world domination. He's building a wall in our heads.
So I think it started when we were messing around on Desire Island. I think that's when he got through. We must have led him to us after visiting Rabbi Shimon in his cave.
Well, I don't know how it happened, but it did.
Well, that island is the devil. Granting people wishes is fraud.
Well, what's done is done.
How does the owner of a time machine utter a phrase like, "What's done is done," with a straight face?
What's your idea, Butch?
Hang on a sec. Okay, so I went back in time and took care of it.
Well, what will that...
From here? You're just visiting?
Oh, I'm from here. I didn't grow up here or anything, but I've lived here for 10, 12 years.
Oh, all right. Yeah, I didn't grow up here either. I don't think anybody did. I think everybody just moves here. I don't think you're allowed to be born here.
Well, that doesn't sound right.
Oh, yeah, it's an old expression. Everybody is from somewhere else. Therefore, no one is from anywhere.
Is this the radio play that you did with Butchie?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's called Your Driver Is Butch.
Where you from?
Mm.
I don't know. How far
it's kind of arty, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. It's supposed to be entertaining.
I am, as they used to say,
sometimes art is not entertaining.
Okay, well, we didn't want it to be that kind.
All right.
It sounds largely improvised.
Yeah, a lot of it was.
I say that because it sounds very much like real life. And real life is not terribly compelling.
All right.
So it's just a dialogue?
Well, we jokingly said it was a monologue between two characters.
All right. It's funny, not only am I hearing what you're saying, but I'm hearing the subtext, what you're thinking. And what you're thinking is, what should I say next?
Well, that's the whole improvisation thing, you know. Maybe there is a blurred line between improvising and real life.
Improv and real life are exactly alike, except in improv, the feelings that you're being judged, evaluated, and compared are true. Oh, my phone's vibrating. It's my grandma calling. Hey, Grandma. How are you? No, we're listening to something on the radio. It's on the radio. It's Hardy and Butchie.
Nope, there's no block.
Oh, I'll shut it off. I'm sorry. I'll shut it.
Hindrain.
My attempt to communicate with you just got in the way with my attempt to communicate with you. Oh, my goodness, my friend. Even though I love you, or because I love you, I get so self-conscious when I want to communicate with you, when I want to connect, when I want to say anything to you. I think it through. How am I affecting you? How will you see me? Will you love me or hate me or reject me? And if you will reject me, or if there's a chance, then maybe I alter what I say or how I say it. What if I say things that are completely the opposite of what I feel? Because I want you to love me. And maybe you're doing the same. And maybe we're caught in some sort of weird feedback loop created by fear, and both of us are vibrating to a strange frequency. And all of it is an illusion, because really, we're both fearful and afraid to be truthful and afraid to really connect. And that is a great grounded fear. The more I meet people, I love you so much, the more I say, oh my gosh, yes, what a crazy world it is. It is very difficult to say anything or communicate any story or anything because somebody is going to get it wrong. But are they getting it wrong? They're getting it right for them. You know, it's like homophones. I'm saying a word. Who's to say which word I'm saying? If I say hair, am I talking about a rabbit or the thing on your head? And so one person's hair is another person's hair. And I don't know if there's a rabbit on your head or what's on your head. There's an expression, oh, you got a hair in your palm, not hairy palm like that, but there's a French one. And I think it's like you're lazy. I'm so lazy that there's actually hair
growing in the palm of my hand. Can you imagine that? What if you were to take a human hair and put it in the palm of your hand, and then it grew a person, but not anybody that you'd really want to be around, just somebody, like somebody you see maybe when you're traveling, and you think, oh, bless them. I wonder what their life is like. And you never see them again or think about them. Sometimes I do, though, when I'm traveling. I think about, is this the crew I'm dying with? Wouldn't that be fun? I'm going to reduce everybody to a caricature so I can make a little movie in my head. And it can be like Stripes or Police Academy or something. And each one of us, or a superhero movie, they're the same thing, where each one of us is a different set of characteristics, but not very many. Just a few things that define us. Right? I'm very tall, and I can breathe fragrances. They call them a glade breath. I know that's a trademark, so maybe something better. I don't know. I'll think of something. But that's the type of thing I'm talking about. Break everybody down like that. Look at you. I can imagine what your power is, just based on what you're wearing on your head, which is, what is it? It's a type of hat. I don't know what style it is. I'm not very good at that. Okay, it's a Homburg. I don't know why you're wearing it, whether it's religious obligation or whether you're a 30s gangster. Could be either. Could go either way. I'm going to go with the fact that you are reincarnated. What's his name? Little Caesar. Makes me hungry when I say that. Tiny, tiny little Caesar, or a tiny Emperor Hadrian. Once upon a time, a tiny Emperor Hadrian decided that he would crawl into a mouse hole and eavesdrop on the Senate. And so he did this, and he became a little mouse in the Senate. And he would go to the edge of the mouse hole, and he would cup his hand to his little ear, and he would listen to what the senators were saying about him. "Ha, ha, 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 ha," said Publius Anus. "I do not publicly agree with Hadrian." Little mouse Hadrian would hear this, and he said, "Once I am large again, and that requires eating a special kind of grape, then I'm going to deal with this senator, and I'm going to have him executed." And that's what he did. Part of that story is not true, but it's morally true. So that makes it okay, because I'm not misrepresenting his character. All right, if you murder people, I don't know what your excuse would. Well, I got mad at political opponents repeatedly. And then I felt ashamed every single time. All right, well, that's not how repentance works. Oh, you can atone for something and say, "I was wrong," like in the Bible, in the book of Daniel. That's a good one. I'll skip some of it. And I'll go right to the arrogant, paranoid king, Nebuchadnezzar. All right. And he says, I think I'm going to be, I'll be like, "You guys seem to have it right. So I'd like to be on your side, the side of the righteous." And they say to him, "Well, that's great, but you don't get to keep your kingdom, because your kingdom is based on your awfulness. So that's great. We welcome you to the side of righteousness. I'm sorry that you have to leave behind it all your power and influence. But did you really want the power of life and death over individuals? The ability and the tendency to crush the lives of the powerless?" "I don't know. No, no, thank you. I don't mind being on the side of the righteous, even though it means that I'm wearing some sort of animal skins in the wilderness. I don't do that. I wear cotton. But in the wilderness out there, and I think I look good, but I know it's humble. I know it's humble. Sometimes I wear outfits that are made of synthetic material. It's made of oil, which used to be creatures a very long time ago. But what I know from illustrations and a lot of cartoons will show you how oil is made. The dinosaurs melted into the ground somehow. And then it was sort of like a reverse Beverly Hillbillies. And the bubbling crude went, it got sucked back into the ground. But I guess it was you didn't see the dinosaur part. But in the cartoon, they made it seem really very real. Now, the first actual video evidence we have of dinosaurs is Gertie the dinosaur, as illustrated by Winsor McCay. And he was able to see actual dinosaurs and then come back and then draw it from memory. And he did a very accurate job. Very accurate. All cartoons are accurate. The more surreal the cartoon, the more accurate it is. You say, that looks like the dream world. The dream world's the real world. This world, really? Do you think that the pretend world would be more complicated than the real one? This real world, it says it has rules, it seems knowable in some way. That doesn't seem right. Oh, but the dream world, it keeps changing. That's where the challenge is. It keeps shifting gears. Just when you think you know what the rules are, the rules change. Isn't that more fun? No, I don't know. That's the way this world is anyway. Things that we think are true one day, one year, are not true the next. You know, Newton was wrong. Sir Isaac Newton was wrong. He was right-ish, but he's wrong. Nowadays, he's wrong. His idea of gravity is wrong. It's right-ish, but it's wrong. It's like how your mama's pie crust. I know it tastes good to you, but that is not how it's supposed to be made. So there's a truth. Whether we can ever access it, I don't know. It's hard. If you were to take a physics test or an astronomy test a few hundred years ago, you'd have to put down some incorrect things to get an A. Nowadays, what are the incorrect things that you have to write down to get an A that we will learn in the future are true, but now we're getting it wrong? You never know. You have to live your whole life like that. Oh, I gotta live my whole life not knowing exactly what's true or not, so what do I do? Do I stop trying? No, because you could have it right. My goodness. And if you do have it right, then in the future, long after you were dead, you might get some kind of entry in some kind of encyclopedia or something. And that's what we're all shooting for. You don't get your reward in life or afterlife or in anybody's life or something. You just get it randomly somewhere on the other side of the universe, and maybe nobody will see it. What if you've already been, like, on TV and in the paper, but across the universe, in another planet or something, you're super famous and you'll never know about it. They've been spying on you. And there, you're like, it's hilarious. I guess it's like one of those movies about people don't know they're in a reality show. Except this, I've added a space dimension. It's the Squire Trelawney is hundreds of years, 1,000 million light years away watching you. Well, that's like God. It's like some people's idea of God. I feel like God is on in Star Trek. He's on another planet, looking at me with a telescope, and reading my lips. That's why it gets my prayers wrong often. It's because I don't enunciate, and I get things that sound like things that I want. Right. So I don't know. Well, I said a car, like he said a car. I'm saying car. He's just not hearing it. Oh, my goodness. Are our prayers heard? Well, we hear them. If there's only one person, especially during silent prayer, how many people hear your prayer? Well, we don't know for sure, so I believe that the Lord hears it. No doubt. That's what you believe. And maybe that, who knows? We'll never know anything. Who knows? Let's stop talking at all. But here's one person that you know does hear, and that's you. So is there value in silently saying things to yourself, reminding you things, silently appealing to yourself for help and compassion? Is anything wrong with that? Or remembering other people silently so you don't forget them? I help do that when people do have problems and there's nothing I can obviously do, all right? When you say, I'll pray for you, this is what I mean. So someone's had a trouble and there's nothing that I can that's really obvious that I could do yet, okay? Maybe it's an illness. I say, oh, I love you, you know, anything you need. So that's how I pray. But praying, what I mean, is reminding myself that I'm needed so that I don't forget it, because I might, the opportunity may come up to help. And what if I've stopped, and it's easy to forget things. Oh, my goodness. And so I remind myself. So I close my eyes sometimes and I say, I want to remember, if anybody's lonely, or I won't remember anybody's hurting or hurting physically. I forget that when I feel good. And I may forget to help somebody who needs me because I'm not paying attention and looking out. So that's what I use it for. If nobody hears it but me, then it's done its work. Right? I'm not putting in some kind of silent request. I'm not entering your problem in some sort of space lottery. Well, if it comes up, it'll be solved. I put your
problem in there, and they pick one. The radio station picks one. It's called Solve a Crisis. And then if they do it, they come and they take care of whatever problem is, pay your rent or resurrect your mother. The radio station does that. It's a gimmick for them, but they help you. But really, not everyone gets that help.
And that's how I think we all, some of us view prayer. And that's interesting to me. Oh, the human mind. I love it. I would never tell you what to believe or not to believe or anything like that. How would I know? Like that. All I can do is show you, you know, tell you what I see. And then say, do you see what I see? And you say, a star? No, I don't know if it's a star. I don't have the instruments. I just know it's something up in the sky. Could be an aeroplane. Or one of them satellites. Or a weather balloon. Or a hot air balloon with a picture on it. And whose picture would be on a hot air balloon? I don't know. You're all yelling it. I can hear you yelling. Because I must have said something like that similar at another time. And saying, yeah, I remember that. Oh, my friends, I remember you. I remember things that haven't happened yet. How's that possible? How many things can possibly happen? I know it's going to be sort of limited. I got to narrow down by watching other people who look like me. And I thought, okay, that's probably generally what's going to happen to me. I sort of know my fate. I know what my fate sort of looks like and smells like. Maybe I do, and maybe I don't.
That's very arrogant of you, Hardy. Well, it's dull and sort of mildly tragic, so I see it, if that helps you. I'm not bragging or anything.
And some people's fates are horrible. I can't even imagine. And, I think I'll meet my demise in one of those... I think there'll probably be some, involved fear, maybe, humiliation. It'd be nice. I welcome that. I'm a human being. It's okay. I'm always embarrassed.
If you're embarrassed, you're doing it right, they always say. I love that logic. If people hate you, you're doing it right. If you get all Fs, you must be doing it right. If everything is going wrong and you have no proof, you must be doing it right. It's refreshing. It feels good, but it's like huffing paint. That way of thinking is going to get you, you're going to lose your brain. You're going to lose your way. Do not leave track of your trail where you've come in. Like if your sister and you go in the woods, don't put down breadcrumbs. Why? Because they attract witches. And if you put down breadcrumbs, the witches will find you. And they're always looking for things because they're bakers. And they make, I know this is disgusting, but they make savory pies out of children. Not. We think pies, a lot of fruit pies, but in England, where witches who live in the woods and eat children in pies, it's more of a savory pie they have there, meat pies. We don't have them as much here. We do have some. I'm not saying we don't, and we do have chicken pot pies, and that's somebody's baby. So I guess so. Oh, my fellow creature, I know what it's like to be alive. But then again, I don't. I know what it's like to be alive in the way that maybe a stall-fed veal does, you know? So it's not the worst thing in the world, but it feels limited, but cushy, you know? Do we feel sorry for the veal? Go, man, I can't eat anymore. Eat more. Oh, couldn't possibly. I mean, that's sort of like people go on cruises to have that happen to them. And here, you know, and both ultimately they're going to meet their end. It's just one of them will not be served with a sort of white wine, shallot, and mushroom sauce the way one of them will. Who will be? I think the fellow on the cruise probably
would be the best bet. Say, he might be served with a sauce. We don't know how people meet their ends. Oh, bless you. I hope you get a good one. I hope if you're eaten by some sort of horrible alien devil, what do you want? Would you like to be a satisfying meal, or would you hope that he chokes on you? You make him, I hope I make him sick. Not me. I hope if some horrible, hideous creature from another planet comes here, he would look like one of our cartoon devils or something, and he turns me into a meal. I kind of want to be my best. I kind of wanted to buy and say, this is the most succulent bicep or whatever I've ever had. And I say, I knew my time was temporary. So, you know, maybe you'll rethink it a little bit. You'll say, well, that was somebody's arm, alien devil. And maybe I don't want to eat that. Who knows? I don't know. I can't fully be inside someone else's head. I can sort of visit. And art for me feels like a real estate open house. Go to a neighborhood and you get to go in someone else's head. And you'll walk in there. Some people put down plastic. Some people don't mind if you walk on their carpet or wood floors with your shoes on. Some places look lived in. Some places look as if they've never hung anything on the walls, that they don't want to make anything look permanent. They don't want to make any kind of statement. They're afraid to be unique. That's what I see in some of these houses, these house heads, empty house head. I go in your mind palace. What are you doing in there? I'm just looking around. I'm sorry. I'm just looking. I'm not going to do anything with the information. It's not a scam. It's just when I'm quiet and I'm listening to you, I'm letting you open your head to me, and I'm looking around the rooms. And the less I say and the more I listen, maybe I just say things like, and what's in the next room? And you tell me. And I like that. But now I know what's in your mind palace, sort of. Or maybe I know just as much as you do. Because sometimes people tell other people just as much as they tell themselves. And they will tell you that. So now you know me as well as I know me now. We both know me equally. That's good. Do you ever have a friend like that? And then the next thing they say is, now I want you to also solve my problems since you're now me. No. Well, no, no, no. No, 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 no. Oh, don't tell me everything. Keep some things secret. Because maybe you don't know what they are. I don't know all the answers. I've looked in the back of the book, but I don't know that somebody hasn't taken the back of another book and switched it out. I haven't double-checked. I haven't done my own research. So I can't tell you. I can't swear to you. But I can just give you anecdotal evidence. Anecdotal evidence of things apropos of nothing. I love to tell you stories that aren't going to be particularly useful to you. Why? Okay. Let's say I sold you a shovel that I made. Oh, I'd love to have one of your shovels, Hardy. Would you? Would you? Because let me tell you what it's made out of. It's made out of duct tape and tinfoil, and the minute you try to actually dig something with it, I think it's going to collapse. I didn't make it to be... I don't use it. I didn't make it to be used. I just made it as a decoration. You might think it's a shovel. It's just a thing that looks like a shovel. It's just art. Don't pick it up and use it. Right? That's what you're doing, like a museum or something. What are you doing? I'm sitting on this. That's not a couch. It's a Salvador Dali sculpture. Look, step on back. It looks like Marilyn Monroe's lips. I was sitting on it. I know, man. I feel foolish. Don't feel foolish. Don't feel foolish at all. Don't feel foolish at all. I struck up quite a friendship, had a very long conversation, and struck up quite a friendship with a Dwayne Hansen sculpture. And sort of embarrassed, I sat there, and I said, oh my goodness, you look like an approachable person. And I just started downloading all my problems. And what a great listener was this person that wasn't a person. It was a person that had been rendered in fiberglass so realistic. All the hairs look individually glued on, just like real people. And I think that when I'm speaking to real people, I think all their hairs look individually glued on. How is that done? And I sort of know how it's done. I mean, they're grown up out of the thing. So it didn't, nothing, no red flags went off for me. And I got up and walked away, and I left my address. I said, please, please, please write me. I don't want to, I know this is crazy, but I don't want to lose touch. And I don't know that it wasn't until the security guard came and put his hand on my shoulder did things start to, then reality starts coming in like flood. And all of a sudden that thing is gone. That thing that you, like when you wake up from a nap and you were dreaming, you go, wow, that's jarring. That felt so real, man. I was committed to that reality. I was in there solving a problem. I was halfway through doing something in my dream. Absolutely loyal and committed to that reality. And now I open my eyes and I'm on the dang couch. And I realize it's, oh, I guess I don't have to worry about that thing anymore. I'm somewhere else now. Now, what if it just kept happening to you? That'd be pretty disturbing, wouldn't it? And what happens is that when I time travel and we make a mistake or something, that's exactly what happens. That's exactly the feeling, is that you get very committed to a reality and it changes. And then that thing isn't a problem anymore. All the players shuffle around and you think, ugh, and you got to kind of start all over again. Some things are the same, but you're not sure what. And you never get out of that, just the process of trying to put it all together. You never get the last piece in the puzzle. You never get it complete. Sometimes you get a little taste of what the picture might be, at least in this little corner of the puzzle. In this little corner of the puzzle, it looks to be a bunny. It might be a bunny, but it could be someone's wig. I don't know. I would like to explain art to a rabbit, maybe a dead one even, right? I would do that, and then I would want you to take a picture of it, and then I would want you to paint that picture on a big flotation device, a large one that could be used in a harbor to alert boats of what the lanes are. Did you ever go out boating? And you'd realize, man, there's a lane. I thought people were just coming on willy-nilly in these canals, but there's not. There's lanes, and the lights will indicate what side of the light you got to go on, where there might be a part of the canal you don't want to go, and it'll tell you that. Now, you say, oh, I've been boating. I know that. I'm talking to the non-boaters. So, to just right now, you can leave if you're an experienced sailor or boater. You may leave the room. Did you get your earring when you run around the Cape of Good Mayhorn? What's it called? Not Cape May. Do you get an earring when you go around Cape? Old sailors, that's what that would be their goal. So you know what? I'm just going to sail down around Cape May and up back. I'm going to take the turnpike back. Okay. Good luck. Thank you. I'll be home, I don't know, hours maybe. But no, Cape Horn is what I meant to say. And you go around there and you get a ring, and what you do with it is you can put it in your nose, ear, nipple, anywhere on your finger, I suppose, even if you wanted to. But the sailors don't do that because they lose their fingers so frequently. They get caught in the rope, between the rope and the capstan, capstan. And what will happen is when the rope tightens, the fingers will pop off like that. And if you put your ring on, now what's the gold ring for? The ring is so you can buy, after you die, you can take it and you say, good sir, I have died in your kindly, goodly land. But I have no money on me for a proper burial. Will you take this gold ring, which I got from going to South Jersey, and will you take this and melt it down for money, and so I can buy a casket to put myself in and lay my remains to rest? And that's what the sailors do. And the sailors know that, and they know which side of the light to go on. And they know. I had these placemats, and they had a map of, they had a picture of Bermuda on one side, and they flip, I think they were purchased in Bermuda as a souvenir. And you turn them over, on the other side, they had a map of Bermuda, and it was a nautical map. You know what I'm saying? The kind you used when you navigate nautical. So it had, I don't know, you know, it had little numbers out in the ocean and stuff like that. It wasn't the kind of map you used to drive around. It was a nautical map. But it said, on the bottom, it said, not to be used for real nautical navigation. It said this on the placemat because it didn't want people who had the placemat to think, ah, I'm going to take this out into my sailing craft now. Now I have an accurate map of Bermuda, and I can sail around it using a placemat. If you've ever been to a restaurant in Florida, maybe they serve a meat and two veggie kind of plate, and they have a paper placemat and it has a picture of Florida on it, map of Florida, and maybe it has an orange right there in Central Florida with a face on it. You know what I mean? And Stephen Foster. And so, oh, is that not, can I use this map for anything? It appears to be a map, but is it useful? Are all maps useful? I remember hearing a certain minister preach on a Sunday, and he stood on the steps of the Bema, and he said, I don't think he called it. He said a couple things. He would yell them out, though. And he said, do you know if your map is accurate? Do you know if your map is accurate? And he began to tell stories about maps. He told a story about a little kid who had been given a special pirate treasure map that was really his backyard, and his father had buried a little box of trinkets for him and let the boy find it and think he was a pirate digging up pirate treasure. He talked about maps of the town that you might have grown up with, but they've changed some of the streets around and things don't look the way they used to. No, they don't look the way they used to. So that one, it's not a pirate map for children. It's something that used to be accurate, but no longer. Is that your map? Is that your map? He would ask. He'd look out in the congregation and he'd make eye contact with people. And he'd say, and he'd forget, he'd lose his train of thought, but he knew it was about maps, so he'd just go, map, 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 map. And they were engaged. Oh, they were wrapped. Their attention was wrapped, but not with a W, with a P and a T. And they couldn't stop looking and listening. But there came a point where he wasn't saying anything. He wasn't saying anything. And yet, their brain was in a sort of posture where it was getting instructions. It was letting itself be molded. It was opening itself up, and it was letting itself reflect whatever was coming into it, and what was coming into it was nonsense. The preacher wasn't saying anything. Maybe at one point he had been thinking of something very specifically. Maybe he had made a connection when he was studying the scripture. He said, you know, the next time this comes up, I'm going to mention maps. Because sometimes they're not accurate and we put so much value in them. But then when they let us down, it's as if the whole world has changed. I thought I knew how to get there. But why is MacGuffin Boulevard gone? Is it gone? Or is it now, is the name just changed? Examine your map. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, everybody. And the preacher would then put up his arm and everybody would clap and they would go crazy. They would go nuts. And a few people in the back who were really paying attention would think, why is everybody going crazy? That man hasn't said anything. He's just made them feel a certain way, and they've lost their minds, and they've lost their direction, and they can't think straight anymore. Because he's sort of created a time wall in their heads. And he's jumbled things around a bit, and they let him do it. And now they can't think straight, and they leave, and they don't remember where they put their keys because they haven't put them anywhere yet. And they start to doubt things they're about to do, just the way we do when we forget things we've already done. And the world takes on a weird shape, and it doesn't go forward, and it doesn't go back. It just vibrates in the present, stuck there in a sort of weird, shaky feedback loop. Nothing will engage. I'm trying to engage with you. I'm trying to open my heart to you. Oh, my fellow creature. I'm glad we're both alive right now. Oh, I am. Oh, because it's still there's possibilities. I'm clinging to that. Things happen. Oh, there's possibilities we could come together and feel joy. There's possibilities that those who are suffering right now could suffer less. There's possibilities that we could be lifted up from a very low place to a very high place even. I don't want to get your hopes up, but oh my goodness. Maybe we have something that can help somebody else, and there'd be a way to everybody get matched up so that you might have something that somebody else needs, and we could find a way of connecting y'all without manipulating people. Because right now, nobody does have your best interest in mind, you know? They, if they do want to connect you, they want to connect you for mercenary purposes. But, oh, I think we could truly meet everybody's needs working together. Sure we could. If there weren't huge walls up, we just can't navigate. Can't run in a field like that. If there's big rocks or trees or walls or anything in the way. Has to be so as you can see off into the distance and know where you're running. That's real freedom. If you have to worry about what's going to hop out from behind that tree over there, no, sir. Deliverance from fear is freedom. Deliverance from fear and having to worry about that's freedom. Oh, how do I do that? I don't know. I don't know. I think you are possibly talking to the most fearful person there is. No, I'm not, clearly. I know people are more fearful and less fearful. I'm right, not in the middle, but I'm certainly in the middle somewhere. I might be to one side. I don't really know. Is that the way we are in the Milky Way and the universe and everything? Is that where our place in the galaxy is? I think we're off to one side, maybe. I know we're not the center of it. We're just off one little portion of it. We live out in the galaxy suburbs. Yeah, I don't live in Milky Way. I don't live like in Milky Way Incorporated, like proper. But what it's still considered Milky Way, all right? Because urban, what's the cosmic urban sprawl? That's what we're involved in, not the center of anything. Oh, can you take it? I can take it. I never felt like the center of anything. That's the problem. I never felt near the center. I felt like I was spinning out here in space at nobody with me. Oh, no, you're not alone. There's others of us. Look around. Oh, I didn't see you. I'm sorry. I didn't see you. You're there, too. Yes, we're all floating around. Put your hands out. Let's join hands, all of y'all lost people. We're having a meeting. Meeting right now, the lost hearts, discouraged souls and hearts. Come on, let's get together. What are you going to solve it? No, I just thought we'd all get together. Maybe something will come from it. Who knows? You know, let's all get together, all the wounded and broken. And maybe all the wounded and broken get together that secretly we're all just some kind of pieces of some sort of transformer. And you're these aren't broken robots. These are just part of a giant robot. I'd be fine with that. So that's my problem. I'm a toe bone. I'm a robot toe bone. And I've been walking around thinking I'm just some kind of really misshapen, wrong, broken, small, weak robot. And I'm not. I'm part of a bigger thing. I just do my little thing. And come on, let's hook up all of y'all. All of you that feel, if you feel confident and this is silly to you, or you say, no, I know what I'm doing. I'm perfectly confident in everything I do. Then that's fine. Bless you. That's what we're all going for. But you probably don't need this class. It's not even a class. It's more like a support group or something. We're just all getting together, having a donut and a cup of coffee, and we're joining hands, and we're just saying, hey, I'm going to be here in case I'm what you need. And maybe you got what I need. Oh, maybe all together we can be lifted up when we do that. Not feel so sad. You know, I know that's certainly that if you're trying to cure loneliness, then being with somebody else is the pretty obvious solution. There's other things you can do, like solitaire, but I say other people are a really good bet. And I love being with you. You lift my heart up when my heart is low. Sometimes I feel, why? What am I even doing? Is this worth anything to anybody? Is it silly? Are you being silly? Maybe I'm just, giving you a little distraction. So I got worries. I need to be distracted. Do you, though? Or am I keeping you from thinking about something you're supposed to be? No, go ahead. I need to be distracted. Am I distracting you like drugs? I mean, I don't want to mess things up. If you need to be home like doing bills and you're listening to me and just laughing giddily, I don't know. Do we want that or something? I feel responsible. I don't know. I don't know if I want to give you just to feel good, I guess. Okay. Well, I know my place. What else am I going to do, right? I can't give you legal advice. I'm not a lawyer. I can't give you medical advice. I'm not a medical lawyer. I can't give you artistic advice. I can't give you musical advice.
Name some other things there are.
Cutting up. I can't give you advice how to do even very basic things. I can just be companionship. And I feel that is enough. And I think that has all sorts of ramifications. You can do that in all sorts of disciplines. Just be... Every office just needs somebody there. I don't even know what you do. I don't do anything. I'm another character in your cast of characters. I'm just another person in Stripes, or I'm just another person on Gilligan's Island. I'm just another person on your plane of ill-fated passengers. I am just another caricature in your 30s war movie, in your 50s cowboy movie. I'm just another one. That's me, Hardy Wyatt. What's his thing? He doesn't shut up. Oh, it's fun. It's fun, but it's not fun. He'll be fun because we can tease him, and he'll be, I think, probably be self-deprecating about it, because people who never shut up often point it out, say, I never shut up, because it gives yet another thing to say. So they like to say that. I know I talk too much, but you can see I'm clearly not doing anything about it. And all I have to do something about it is to not do it. How easy is that? Well, if that was an easy thing, people would need help quitting smoking or drugs or anything that they're addicted to. Can you be addicted to just constantly talking and never listening, just running your mouth all the time? And you think you have something to say, but do you really have something to say? Are you really imparting any information? Are you really saying something like, here are all the George Orwell books I like and why I like them? Then at least you're saying something, giving someone information, coming up for air. That's a good one. Have you read that? You should take a stack of them. Burmese Days. Something like that. Down and out in Paris and London. Now I'm giving you something. Now you don't have to keep it. But if you don't, though, you can give it back to me. Oh, my friends, I love you so much. Thank you so much for being with me again and visiting like this. You don't know how much it means to me. Oh, Hardy's heart swells so much, not in a bad way, not in a dangerous heart attack way, just in a good, full of love sort of way. every time that we are together. You are listening to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope 91.9 in New York City, New York, and Rockland County, New York, and online at WFMU.org worldwide. Oh, thank you for listening, and I will see you again next week.